Nahu Mikey P, Mike Probosi back. Harness Players Podcast. Another week for us. Another week with Frazier Downs. And we got some Yonkers later on with Ray and with Edison. Might have a little bit of a stable, add things today, this week. I don't know that we're going to get a segment this week. Couldn't really nail anybody down, but that's all right. This week we have a new guest with us here, and it's somebody that I noticed has been doing some Twitter videos. He's very active on Twitter. He's betting Frazier. He's betting Mohawk. He's doing the Mohawk picks this week for Nahu. It's Mr. Doug Henwood. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
Mike, my pleasure.
So I saw you recently. You're doing quite a bit of you're doing some YouTube work. You're doing a lot of handicapping. I know you're a huge harness racing fan. So tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about your reasoning for being involved with racing.
Yeah, my pleasure. My dad took me to the races when I was a young lad, and I could never shake it. I love it. I'm massively passionate about all horse racing, but for sure, specifically harness racing. I missed my high school graduation because it was a race night. In the mid-90s, I was based back in Alberta. We had for about 5 years, I ran a website. We owned some horses. I gave out selections and even a little once a week kind of just a column. And we had a little bit of a fan base. It was so much fun. And then you get busy. So I sort of put it aside. Ultimately, we have moved and we find ourselves in Nanaimo, BC. And the attraction is a couple of grandkids who live on the island. So no problem. It's good to see I have at least that priority where it should be. But second to grandkids, I still love my harness racing. And you betcha, got the TV going, HPI. And if it's Thursday night, we're playing Frazier. Friday nights, for sure, Woodbine and Frazier. And then again, Saturday, back to Woodbine. So I'm an accountant, just newly retired. So because of that, I think I handicap a little bit differently. I know everybody looks at the program, but I do my best to let the program really speak. And I've learned over the years that the more I can keep my own subjectivity out of it, the better off I'm going to be. So in other words, when I have to go in there and choose between one or the other, typically it doesn't always go well. So I love letting the program tell me as much as I can, and then I'll jump in and make my picks. So I'll quickly tell you that I'm in there calculating front half speed, middle move horses, and then I, of course, closing quarter, but I do a little adjustment to it that I think is necessary. So we won't get into the details today, but that's how I base my selections. And it kind of narrows it down for me. A lot of times I'm going to land on the same stuff that other handicappers have arrived at, but I'm going about it in a little bit of different fashion.
Well, that's good that you have your own style. Now, you say you have your own way of looking at the races, looking at the program. What about betting? What's your thing? You a multi-leg guy? You more like a win better? You more like a exactest tries, things like that? What's your preferred form of wagering?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. The first thing to know is I'm a small better. I do definitely believe in making sure it's fun and never betting more than you should. So first of all, I'm a small better, and my number one choice is a 3-horse exacta box. And then I follow that up with a trifecta and potentially a tri-box or tri-key if I'm a little bit confident in who I think will win. So about an $8 ticket every race. And over the years, as they've introduced the 20-cent ticket options, I found myself starting to fall in love with the pick fours and pick fives. And so now I guess I like to play it all, but at a small level, because you add it all up, if you do have not a great night, it can cost you some money. So I'm conscious of that, and I love to give out advice based on what the small bettor might want to know.
So you talk about giving out advice. Talk about your YouTube videos, your recent YouTube channel. Let everybody know where they can find you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I started out with a YouTube channel, and you can check it out at, it's at the Number Cruncher 365. I chose that name, of course, because I am an accountant. I'm a number cruncher. It's funny, you do all this analysis all day, and then how do I relax? I like to dig into the data in a program. So my YouTube channel, I have a few intro videos which tell you about me and what I think is important. And I have labeled all this, what the program tells me. I'm calling that objective handicapping. And then all the other things that you do after that, I think is subjective. Things like betting on a driver, obviously pretty important. And if you have an important driver change, you got to be aware of that. But I put that on the subjective side. I think before we go there, it's really important to know what the program is telling you are the best horses in the race. So that's the kind of info I have in my YouTube channel. And then I wasn't getting a lot of traction. So recently I got into the X, and you can find me on X at Doug_Henwood. And on X, I've been just throwing out selections for Fraser and Woodbine at Mohawk Park. And then I created recently a little 2-minute video, because I think the maximum you can do on X is about 220 or something. And in it, I'm giving out winners. And I've got three potential winners that I like to offer people. The most likely, may not pay very much, but it's the most likely winner. Then a value play, which maybe pays a little bit more. And then the deep crunch, since I'm the number cruncher. And focusing in there on something that might be a little less obvious. And if you check back, it was just last week. I went 3 for 3, I think it was, on a Friday night at Mohawk.
Well, pretty tough to do any better than that.
So exactly. So it was
giving out winners. So you got to check Doug out on Twitter and check Doug's YouTube channel out. But let's look into some Fraser for this Friday. And this is Friday, April 5th. And Fraser's changing their wagering menu. So they had been doing a dollar pick five. It seems that they're going to get away from dollar pick five for Friday. And they're going to replace that with an early pick four. Now, the pick four pools have been large. If you're looking at those late pick fours, they're averaging over 10,000 pretty much every pick four pool that they have. So they thought, well, let's put another one in. And this is a good card here on Friday night. Last week, handle was high again. Thursday night was huge. It was well over 400,000. Friday, they got close to 300 there. And for Fraser, this is record handle, according to them, these past several weeks. Why? I think that they have a nice spot in the schedule. We talk about that every week. So it's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. So, you're finishing up some of your later night, your earlier tracks. They're getting towards the end. Pick up Fraser at 10 o'clock and see what's going on. We're going to look at the early pick four. Starts in race number 2. And here we are, Doug. Condition claimers, $9,000 tag. In Western Canada, $9,000 is a very common tag for these races. You sort of have to look at the purse. You have to look at the conditions. This one's numbers of 4, numbers of 3, and numbers of 4. And they handicap these horses depending on the amount of wins that they have. We have to remember, 8-horse field, that post 8 is a trailer. So they go 7 across. Post 8 is a trailer in these races that have 8 horses. Doug, where were you at in this first race? I thought this was a tough spot here.
Yeah, I totally agree. There is at least a couple to hang our hat on, but I couldn't get through it without taking at least 3. So I've gone with the 3, 5, and 6. And in my mind, the top potential pick is the 5. You do the math. The way I calculate it, it's the best speed. It's the second best closer. It's certainly been running well. And you'll note it is dropping back down. It's dropping in for a tag, really. It's been running in the non-winners of 2 without a tag. So a drop as well. I don't love the driver switch personally to Dennis Johnson. No offense to Dennis, but Alan Malloy and Hort, who've been on it prior, I'd prefer that. So other than Dennis Johnson on top, I got you do the math. For second, I grab Pull the Trigger. And unfortunately, Pull the Trigger seems to be kind of a bridesmaid there all the time, but it hasn't been getting the win. But in this particular field, you almost by attrition, you think, yeah, it could be pull the trigger. And it never hurts to be betting on Kelly Hort, Trained and Driven. And then for third, a little bit of an angle I have, I like McGarrett, the six. One of the things I play is a middle move. I'll explain that down the road, but you can actually see it in his last race. This horse was 9.5 lengths behind and outside to start. It drove up by the half to be 3.5 behind, and it didn't go backwards after that. That should take the steam out of you, but it didn't. So I'm going to give McGarrett credit for that and go with 3, 5, and 6 in the first leg.
I agree on two of those. I'm sort of against you do the math. I feel like this is a bit of a give up in some ways. The fact that, you know, they do put this horse in for a tag. And, you know, this horse has won 2 out of 5 starts, a newly turned 3-year-old. So I'm not too crazy about this one here, especially at a short price. I agree on the 3. Has had some trips. Was on the rail last time and had some rough gated problems early. Now this horse is 1 for 23, but 10 shares lifetime. You get, you're right, the top connections there. So that one's a use for me on that post. I agree on the 6 also. That horse ran into I Know Better on March the 15th, and really from the 7 post, absolutely no chance, but bounced back last time despite that tough trip. And now gets a driver switch here, but I do think should be competitive enough. And then I'm going to use the 2, Oscar the Grouch, another one that's sort of been right there recently and is taking money versus this condition after this horse dropped out of that numbers of 2. I really struggled in those spots, but since moving to this level has been competitive. Again, draws inside, probably should trip out. Some of the other ones that are outside, they just don't win enough. Like Old Brown Truck, 3 for 64. You just can't take horses like that at an outside post. No. So I don't really like them very much. Give me the 2, 3, and 6 to start this pick 4.
Gotcha.
Let's go to race number 3. This is non-winners of 4. So these are a little bit tougher horses, or 27,000. There's some allowances and some other things that they do to fill up the box here. I Know Better has won 3 straight races. I do think, though, that this is a spread race. Doug, what say you here?
Yeah, I have to agree with you 100%. It's a really interesting race in that I think kind of highlighting the race would be the 6 horse, Buddy Knox. Buddy Knox won the $100,000 Milbank final last October and went 5 for 5, one of Rod Terrace's 2 horses in the race. So you know it's going to take big play. And the qualifier shows the horse is going to be ready. The only thing about it is if we have a quick look at the 1, you'll notice that he was in that same race back on October 26th and he never saw the rail. So maybe excuses, and prior to that, really was running pretty good in the fall in those Milbank preliminary stakes. And then, as you say, all it's done is win since returning to the races. So I think the 1 is a little bit hidden, but 6 is bound to be the favorite, I believe. And then I couldn't get past including the 2 as well. That's the other Rod Terrace horse in here, Buddyville. Again, just good numbers, and that last race was very impressive, driving up 6 lengths in the middle of the race and then just pulling away to win by 3 in 154 and 3. That's a monster of a race. So 6-2-1, and then, you know what, I even since really to me the goal is to find a way to beat the favorite, so I'm hoping maybe they even find a little speed duel somewhere in this race. And at the end of it all, the 7, Willie Rocket, does what it does best, which is come home late. It's a good closer, maybe a price, right? So just, I'm with you. I spread and I went 1, 2, 6, 7.
Yeah, I'm pretty spread out here too. I'm going to leave Buddy Knox off here. And I know he's never lost, but he's 2 turning 3. He has a couple qualifiers, but obviously, you know, this horse has a big year planned ahead. And, you know, the trainer has another horse in the race. There's a lot of them that have recency over him. He's going to have to be good from that 6 post and really probably much the best to beat these horses. Agree on the 1, has won 3 straight and steps into this race now, but couldn't be really going any better since he's come back. So I like his recency edge over the favorite. Agree on Buddyville. I mean, where'd that 54-3 come from? I'm not sure. But this horse has 6 lifetime wins and 21 starts. And I really like that race, especially coming off that absolute stinker there on March the 15th. So I'm not sure, something had to have gone wrong there, but he certainly was much better there last time. So I think he's a use. The three, Mr. Moose, another one, raced pretty well last year at Century. And now, you know, he's newly turned four, raced pretty well last time off the bench. Hadn't been seen since February and, you know, gets an inside draw. This is the top barn here. So another one that has recency over the favorite. And then I liked Willie Rocket last week and he was able to come and fly home 28-1 to win. I'll use him here too, because I do think that there's a scenario where, you know, especially if the favorite's not quite what he needs to be, some of the other ones get tired chasing him. Willie Rocket can come back and win this race. So I agree. Lead the six out, 1, 2, 3, 7 in race number three.
Gotcha.
Fourth race, 8 claimers. This is open claimers. There is a 9 claiming condition for horses that have been non-winners of 8 and 9. These are good races, tough races. I shrunk down in here. I only saw 2, with one of them being a price. Where were you at?
Well, I think I'm in the middle with covering 3 horses, 3, 6, and 8. I think you absolutely could really shrink down this race and simply give it to the 3 horse, Light My Shadow and Kelly Hort. This horse just figures in every capacity in terms of what the program's telling me. And then on top of that, you have the Kelly Hort connection. He's running really good. So be no problem in my mind conceding the 3 is the best horse in this race. But again, not going to be a big price. So I guess I'm in addition looking for a price. And for a second, I like how well Keeps Getting Better. The 6 horse is running. Stepping back up here to 8. But you know what? When it was running at 8, it finished 3rd a couple of times. So I'm hoping it's found its form. The 155-1 seems to be the best time it's ran in a while. So maybe the 6 can just go wire to wire and get the job done. And then I could not leave out Major Winker, the 8 horse. If there's ever a horse that won't mind the trailing position, it's Major Winker. I think it's tailor-made to sit, get a trip, just sit in behind. And that Fraser stretch is so cool, the way they can take that inside move up the garden path and slide in for a photo win. So 3, 6, 8, hoping to beat the 3, even though the 3, in my mind, is the best.
I agree on the 3. I do think he's probably the best, and he's racing really well. Those races on the 8th and the 15th, he was much the best in those races. Yeah. And then, you know, sort of just wasn't quite – they tried the front there, an early move on March 22nd, and he got tracked down late by Chasing Bismarck. And then tried another late move there while being favored there on March 29th and couldn't quite get there. But that was in a 53-3 mile, and that was a really fast race. He's probably the best right now, but I'm going to use one other one that's going to be a big price, and that's the 7. Some people need told, and nice. This is a big drop. It's a big drop here. This horse is really 30-1 against those, you know, $12,000 claimers, and those are tough horses. You know, Jules Dragon in there, Bay Street Buddy. Those are better horses than these horses. So this
horse agreed.
And I do think that he could wake up. He's used to outside post. He's going to get ignored. This horse won 9 races last year. He had 21 lifetime wins. So he's capable off a setup. And some of the other ones I really just don't like very much. So I'm hoping the drop wakes this one up. The post might be difficult to overcome, but you are going to get paid if he does win. So 3 and 7 in race number 4.
Nice.
Race 5. Here we go. Preferred. These are some of the best pacers on the grounds here. Short field, which sort of hurts things, and really 2 horses that have sort of been knocking heads at this level, and that's the 4, Army Captain Hailover, and the 5, Sunshine Boy. Did you try them both? Are you going to pick one or the other? Where are you at in this 5th place?
I couldn't separate them, and I thought it was a little bit disrespectful to try to separate them. This is maybe the point, is if we are successful getting to this last leg, and we have both 4 and 5 on our ticket, I'm very confident we're going to be cashing. That's for sure. Sunshine Boy, definitely the best speed. Even second behind the Army Captain as a closer. You know, this horse is 49-74 in the money and 272K in the bank life to date. Army Captain Hanover, as if the other guy wasn't good enough. This is the best closer. And I can tell you experience-wise, Army Captain loves Fraser Downs. Last 2-3 years just been lights out here, and I'm gonna say this horse is a warrior, because you know what, 145 starts and 109 in the money, $308,000 in the bank. So you got to tip your cap. I didn't want to exclude either one of them, so I've got both 4 and 5. Pretty confident.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that and double the ticket, and there's something to be said for that. You know, if you prefer one over the other, or you know, maybe want to sort of weight your opinion that way, I think I'm gonna go with Army Captain here. I just think that he's probably, and I would understand if I could get beat by Sunshine Boy here very easily, but that race last time from Army Captain was huge and was able to come from off the pace, track down Sunshine Boy, who was basically loose by himself and getting things his own way. And this back half that Army Captain put forth to win was huge in a 51 3 miles. So I'll key him in that last race. Let's cap our tickets. Doug, give us your pick 4 here.
Sure. So again, I'm playing a 20-cent ticket. To me, $72 at a dollar is probably more than I want to spend. So the way I would approach this is a 20-center and then go back to it and maybe grab a smaller version, perhaps keying that 3 in the second last leg. But my ticket is 356 with 1267 with 368 and then 4 and 5 in the finale.
Yeah, and that's not bad there. And that's what,
$14.40 for 20 cents. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could start to weight a few other combinations. I'll play for a dollar. 236 with 1237, eliminating that favorite in leg 2. 37, and then with the 4 in the last race, and that's 24 for a buck. If you're interested, get nice. In on that early pick 4 there. Now that's brand new, so people aren't used to that early pick 4. So we'll promote it a little bit. Friday night, early pick 4 at Fraser. Let's see if we can get that pool somewhere near that late pick 4 pools that have been over 10,000. All right, Doug, let's give us your spot place here for Friday night.
What I do in my short little videos on X is I call it for winners only, and I go a most likely, a value play, and a deep crunch. So to me, the most likely winner is in race 4. It's number 3, Light My Shadow. Just figuring highly in all my calculations, fits well in this group. So I got him down as the most likely winner on the card. And you, Sunshine Boy, Captain Army Captain Hanover, obviously both good, but I can't pick between them, so not most likely. I don't know which way to go there. You want a couple more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Value play. Yeah, I would go with this one we were talking about in race number 3, I Know Better. And only because the way I see it, I really do believe that the 6, Buddy Knox and Buddyville, will both take quite a bit of money. And it seems silly to think with 3 wins in a row, maybe you'll get 3 or 4 to 1. But that's my thinking, at least when I consider the source of the value play. I certainly believe it's going to come up with another good effort in the race. So I kind of recommend considering using this one. And then the deep crunch, I'll go back to race 2. It is that number 6 horse, McGarrett. At this level, like he threw in a non-winner's 2 in the middle of 2 races at 9,000. But at this level, he's got a 2nd and a 3rd, and in one of them, he was outside to begin, in the other one, he was interfered to begin. So he may be sitting on a good one. So in other words, maybe some excuses, and the field is a bit suspect in my mind to start with. And then lastly on him, Tyson Jacoby is a pretty darn good young driver, just finding his way, but doing a nice job already here at Fraser Downs.
All right, so I'm going to give you one horse, and it's a price, race number 7, and it's the 3 horse. Now, you have to be careful with this name, Chucky Farley, but this horse I thought was better last time with the driver switch, and now Terry Sticks, you get an inside post. This horse needs a setup, right? But he did take money last time. He was 7-1 versus these type of horses. He's capable. He's another one that won 10 times last year, and I think this is a better spot for him, and I think that he should be flying late. He's going to be a price again, good enough to make me interested. So number 3, Chuck U. Farley, race number 7, Fraser Downs. Okay, we're about done here, Doug, and I appreciate you coming on. And you said we'll just talk a little bit about ownership. You said you were involved in owning anything before. Are you involved with the stable.ca at all? Is that something that you've been that you're privy to, or not yet?
I am. I'm so excited about it. I was an owner in the 90s, and it was difficult being an owner when you own in Western Canada, when you own and you got all the bills coming in. I think the stable is an amazing idea, and I love what Anthony is doing. There are wall-to-wall videos to watch. There's so much information about your horse there. I got started last year with a horse called Wallop, and he won about seven races, and he was paid up for a couple of Michigan stakes. And you know that I went from I'm a 1% owner of that horse, and at some point I was looking at winner circle photos, one driven by Yannick Gingras, and the other one driven by Scott Zeron for my little horse Wallop. So the way this year's developed, Anthony's the boss. I stay in my lane, and the horse it was hard to find a place for him. So kind of sold him privately, which he does to keep the stable lean and mean and focused on where he thinks they need to be. So bye-bye Wallop, but it was so fun. And I bought in on one more, and I'm looking forward to it, the three-year-old campaign with an Ontario-sired horse called Great Bet. It's a little brother to Greatest Ending, which has done pretty good things and had a good two-year-old success. We're just about ready to see this one come back to the track, paid up for all the Ontario Sire Stakes stuff. 1% sure doesn't cost very much, and the fun is just immeasurable.
That's awesome, Doug. I really appreciate it. And we don't have a stable segment this week, but we will have one next week. And I just want to mention stable.ca ownership webinars are still going on. The next one is Monday, April 8th from 7 to 8 p.m. They also have one later on in April, April 27th from 3 to 4, and then Monday, May 6th. That's after the Derby from 7 to 8. So if you're interested in that, go to stable.ca. Amazing website. Really appreciate Doug giving us his stable perspective, giving us your numbers. So tell us when we can see you again, Doug, and we'll let you go.
Tell you where you can see me again?
On X, yeah, on X. And
oh, yeah, like I'll have some I'll have some Fraser and Woodbine stuff on X for tomorrow for the Friday night cards. And be a pleasure to hear from you guys as well. If anybody even just wants to get in touch with me to talk horses, again, it's the number cruncher 365@gmail.com. I love the game. It's so fun. This was just a blast. I appreciate it so much, Mike.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on, and we'll probably do this again. So thanks to Doug, and we'll send it over to Edison and Ray for some Yonkers Borgata.
And thank you very much, Mike Rosie, for some good insight there on Fraser Downs, a little bit of stable info for you. And yeah, don't forget to check out those webinars upcoming for the stable.ca. Definitely an intriguing opportunity to get into the ownership side of things. And hey, Mike, you forgot someone with us. Not only have Ray Catolo this week, I've even got Kevin Ploucho along. So Ray Catolo with us. Ray, congratulations. You've made it to week number 4 of the Borgata Series. We've kept you around for every one so far.
Oh, the way you were saying that, like, I know I was sick last week, but I didn't, it wasn't terminal. It's just, you know, it's kind of a chronic thing, but that's my thing to deal with, you know?
Yeah. You even powered through the sickness last week. You were there. That was great. Okay. The revolving seat that we kind of left empty for the first couple weeks, Ray, we filled it with Mike Rabosi last week. We've kicked him to the curb. It's Kevin Ploucher's turn. Kevin's in that third seat. Kevin, welcome.
Yeah. I thought I was only just here because Ray got Mike sick through the phone last week. So I was just the break glass in case of emergency guys. So here I am.
I want the record to show that I'm in no way patient zero. I am much closer to patient hero. Because
you know what?
It's been damn miraculous, this comeback I've been making.
Kevin, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was sick this past Saturday. I missed calling at Freehold on Saturday. I got through Yonkers Friday night, felt pretty bad. Saturday, I kind of got that good little 24-hour bug. Luckily for me, I was kind of able to enjoy my Easter holiday, and actually I was out of town the last couple days, so I felt okay. It was like a 24-hour bug, but I never thought about it. Ray Catolo did give that to me. So, Ray, what are you doing here?
There's a whole world out there of like other people who don't wash their hands, or if they do like the number one, they only kind of like rub it under, but they don't use soap because they don't have time for that. Like, there's a whole world of that stuff out there. Do I need to make a whole musical about germs right now for you to understand?
Please don't.
I don't want to, but very clearly someone has to learn some virology.
Yeah, right. We don't have that much time. We got to get to some Borgata Pacing Series action here on Monday night at Yonkers. But before we get there, I've got a couple of asides I want to make. Kevin and I will have the basketball talk because, Ray, we know you know nothing about basketball. So Kevin, well, first of all, Roll Tide, Final Four bound. It's UConn over Purdue, right? I mean, there's really it's just as chalky as can be, and it's going to be a very boring Final Four, right?
Well, it wouldn't be boring for me. I'm in first place in two brackets, and UConn over Purdue would make me like $600. So I would actually really enjoy that, although you have the dilemma with UConn's flight being delayed. So now Dan Hurley will have even more to say about how people are disrespecting his team, can't even get him a good flight. I have been incredibly amazed with NC State's run, and I think you will be thoroughly disappointed on Saturday night at about 11:13 p.m. That is what I say.
Yeah, that'll be lovely. I've already got plans to watch with other people, so other people are going to be miserable around me as well.
I can't get over the him saying it won't be boring for a guy like me. What does that mean for what, you, a college aficionado? Just someone who is in school.
Someone who has potential winnings riding on the tournament. It makes it a lot more fun.
Okay, that's for sure, because if I didn't have any money on it, I wouldn't really give a damn about any of these kids. But here's the thing that I want to know is the NCAA technically, like, I know there's scholarships and stuff, but is it the only league you can pay to play in? I feel like if it's not that, it's also golf. Golf seems like one of those sports where you have to, you know, be a member of a club. You got to have a down payment on something just so you could participate.
Yeah. None of this is necessarily accurate, Ray, but we don't have time to get into this. We haven't done this in a long time, Ray, on the show. We need that breaking emergency news siren from you.
How long is it? How much?
I think that's good.
That's probably good enough. Okay. Julius Randle of the Knicks is having season-ending shoulder surgery. Right now, my Orlando Magic are in line to play the Knicks. That might help our chances.
We hope
Julius gets better. But Orlando, we've waited so long. Actually, you know what? That'd be a good playoff series, actually. That is two long-suffering fan bases getting together for a powwow.
Congratulations to Julius Randle for having yet another season-ending injury. It's a rite of passage every NBA season for him to have something get in his way. We wish him the best of luck with that. And also, it's a sign, much like the Borgata, that the birds are coming out and they're starting to chirp. The flowers are starting to bloom. Life is coming back.
All right, Kevin. So chalky UConn men. Is it South Carolina women? Are we going chalky there? Or you want to try to get creative with like Iowa or UConn?
I'll stick to the chalk with South Carolina, although that Iowa-LSU game from the other night was absolutely phenomenal. I have a more obscure breaking news announcement. Also, that Randall news was like 20 minutes ago. That's old news now. Mercyhurst is moving from D2 to D1 in all sports. So there's another
NEC.
Yes,
yeah, that was moving hours ago. You're going to bash me for being 20 minutes old with news. That's hours ago.
Basketball. You're talking about a battleship.
But it's more obscure that nobody would ever know or probably care about because they have to wait 4 years for the transitional period to Division I. Another brief aside, I'm happy to be on this show with Ray Catolo. I know he gets a lot of hate, but I quite enjoy Ray Catolo, and I'm always worried that I'm just going to laugh the entire time I'm on a show with him.
Ray,
are you sucking up to me right now as I'm blowing my nose? This is the guy you want to look
I'm making
someone who is draining snot constantly.
I'm making sure I don't get sick through the phone, and if I can stop that with goodwill, I will stop it any way I can.
I'm a big fan of that store. I get a lot of my clothes from there.
All right, Ray, we've almost allotted our opening time before we got to get down to business, but the last order of business is important here.
This is all business. This is all business.
So I was on a little work, or not work, I can't claim it as work.
A little family work travel trip excursion.
This week. Family travel trip this week, and Ray, actually, you and I talked on the phone in real time yesterday, Ray, right before I went to meet my cousin at James Madison University. So what happened after that
was
dinner.
Meet is the key word of that, by the way.
Is a dinner. We went to this place in downtown Harrisonburg, Virginia, and my cousin talked me into You ready for this, Ray? I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this.
A burger. A septum piercing.
A burger with peanut butter, mayo, and bacon.
Oh, that's a common fair food. That's like putting an Oreo inside of a steak. You know, they do all kinds of weird magic.
It was oddly edible, which is why I think I'm still in shock of this. The fact that it was actually not that bad. I originally thought it was going to be atrocious, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah,
but,
I can't say I'm a fan of peanut butter's texture and earthiness inside of a burger, let alone that being joined by the sweet, not only aroma, but just sensation of jelly touching the tongue. It sounds like too many contrasting experiences being all packaged into one. It's like going to Disneyland and then also getting a Universal ticket at the same. I don't know where that metaphor is going.
Hey, speaking of Disney, I still have never been to Disney in my life, but I was back down in Florida as well earlier this week visiting my cousins at the University of Florida. One of my cousins graduating in a month at Florida, and I finally saw an alligator, right? I'm trying forever when I'm in Florida to see an alligator up close and personal. I finally saw one from, you know, a safe distance, but finally saw one in Nova Lake. So
that's incredible for someone with as much access to Google as you have to finally see what an alligator looks like.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it
was. It's very similar to a crocodile. It's confusing at times.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was at first. It definitely took some knowledge to figure out which one was which, you know. But all right, last breaking news. We're getting all sorts of breaking news in the middle of the show. The Athletics are spending 3 years in West Sacramento before going to Las Vegas. All right, let's get down to business.
Oh, okay.
Yonkers Raceway, Monday, April 8th, 2024. So this is the fourth leg of the Borgata Pacing Series. So it's a five-leg series, of course. The finals come up Monday, April 22nd. And by the way, if you're in the area looking for something to do on a Monday night, you know, kind of the sadness of the weekend being over, now we can celebrate a Monday night. Monday, April 22nd at Yonkers, there'll be the big money Borgata Pacing Final, the big money MGM Blue Chip Matchmaker Final. Good races, good betting opportunities. Dining room will be open. There should be a good atmosphere and crowd on the apron for these big races. So definitely worth coming out to Yonkers if you're looking for something to do in a couple of weeks. And hey, you can even join us early and do some in-person handicapping on these horses through these legs. So we've got the fourth leg of the Matchmaker coming up this Friday. So that series will wrap up the preliminaries next Friday, the 12th, and they'll take kind of a 9-day break. They'll come back around the following Monday for those finals. Borgata rolls right through the 8th, the 15th, and then the 22nd being the final. So for this Monday, the 8th card, we have three more legs of the series, and they start off in race three, so kind of a little bit of what we do in the past. We'll talk a little bit of last week. We'll talk a little bit of this week. We'll kind of do a bit of everything. Whatever my guests want to talk about, they can talk about, and yeah. Ray, we'll let you start. This one, Duncan draws the rail, so the winningest horse last year in North America, 21 wins from 40 starts, 4 already this year. 2 of those this year, of course, coming in much bigger spots with the Borgata wins in the last two legs. Draws the rail, draws well again. Versus Desperate Man, who has gone 3-for-3 in this series, obviously has been super sharp since joining Travis Alexander Barn here at Yonkers last fall. So those two, for the first time, set to square off in a leg here of the series.
This is probably the best way the posts could have been dealt as well, if you had swapped the feet where Duncan would be in place of Desperate Man and vice versa. I don't think this race really stands any chance to go any way other than a Desperate Man. But the thing that caught my eye with how he raced last week, granted, you know, he had to make that big sweeping move around the first turn, go and work a bit of a ways out of sixth to get to the lead, and then went a pretty honest tempo of 55-4, 23-3. He seemed a little tired inside of the stretch. To me, I read that as maybe potentially reasonable, but he didn't have that same kind of power in his motion as he had in his previous two starts, where he didn't have to work as hard to get the lead. So, you know, that it's also his third start back. So for me, I'm watching that mile and I'm trying to find where the balance is between, like, just inside of that race where he was reasonably fatigued. And that's why, you know, even though Kakeli gave him the whip, he responded and everything was sealed at that point. It seemed like there was more vulnerability there than Desperate Man had shown in his previous two starts. All of this to say that Duncan keeps catching my eye. Everyone was on him last week as the even money favorite, and I was a little skeptical from the inside post, and it looked like he was going to get out sprinted into the first turn, but then a bunch of other horses decided to take back. And then Duncan was able to work to the lead. He got the lead and held off Hellabaloo fairly easily. I know it was only a nose, but he had that pretty measured from the look of the replay. And he's only been getting better. So because he has that inside post and he was able to grab the lead last time, and to his outside, I mean, I covered Bridge. I don't know if he's going to try again because he keeps trying to launch off the gate and then he keeps always just taking back no matter how many horses leave to his inside. Ideal Some Magic is drawn a post where you'd think he'd want to push out, but he just hasn't been his same self in his last two starts. And granted, he's coming in off a week off, so maybe this time around he's the value also in this race because, you know, he's coming in off of clunker performances. We know he's a better horse than he's shown in his most recent starts, and maybe he just needed the time off to get himself together and he's always going to be a good price inside of this race. But he has a tough task in trying to beat either of the two favorites. But to me, I feel like Desperate Man creates some room where if Duncan's like, you know, 5-6-1, you know, if Desperate Man takes a ton of play, Duncan might be worth a try. He can keep up. This race could go some weird ways. I think this is the first time I'm seeing Desperate Man as like really vulnerable.
Well, Kevin, I am going to go back to, now that I'm going to be back on the desk this coming Monday with my host, Peter Vanaglia, I'm going to go back to teasing. You'll have to tune in Monday night to hear my selection between Duncan and Desperate Man, but I will build on what Ray said.
You know, that's how you sound sometimes when you say this stuff. Me.
You gotta wait for my picks. You gotta wait for my primetime show.
Ray, every time I hear you, it just sounds like in Charlie Brown, the teacher. She's just wah, 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 wah.
Oh, I'm above a podcast.
Two Ideals to Magic is I'm gonna say basically the same thing Ray said. You know, I didn't necessarily love the horse week one, but didn't dislike him. Obviously, Line Drive Hanover, we know I'm very high on, so obviously, you know, that's the direction I went there. But, you know, I expect him to do better, and he did. Obviously, he set that wicked tempo early. Last time, just really didn't get involved, Matt's I post. I did like him last week on the rebound, so I guess maybe we can go back to him one more time underneath. I don't think I'm looking for him on top this week, but, yeah, he's been particularly disappointed to be in the last two. But you know what? Not to worry for Team Stratton. They got another maybe a little surprising horse that is doing pretty well in the series that obviously we'll get to later. But Kevin, how do we see race three?
Yeah, I think Ideal Some Magic is one you can slot underneath. He's one that could probably get a nice just suck along for a piece trip in this race. I actually kind of agree with Ray that I think you could take a shot with Duncan here. Now, I know Desperate Man's effort last week was super good. He's been dynamite in this series. I was kind of parked around the first turn, just methodically moved to the front, easy winner in 51-3. I did have some thoughts last night. Just does Kekalee not blast him out again, not try to worry about the early speed duel? Because I think Cover Bridge is going to blast this time, because I would like to think Jordan Stratton is tired of moving first over. In leg one, he got to the lead and held everybody off as the big favorite. That was against This Is The Plan, who's returning. But the last two starts, just forced to go first over against Desperate Man. Obviously, that's a very difficult ask. But I think this time we could see Cover Bridge blasting. Obviously, I think Duncan's going to blast from the rail. So that leaves Desperate Man in a little bit of a weird spot. Just kind of, you know, sit back, maybe end up third, having to go first over, see what he's got before potentially a week off and then the final. I think the value is obviously going to be there on anybody else, because Desperate Man's going to take so much money. He was 1-9 last time. He's probably going to be close to that again. I think you'll likely get that price that Ray's talking about. I'd take a shot with Duncan just because I didn't exactly notice that vulnerability that Ray was talking about, but just how this race sets up with post, I'm curious if Kekalee won't. Well, I'm curious if Kekalee will try a different trip this week. So I will side with Duncan at a price.
You know, Ray, I'm going to ask you, because you're always the one that's like thinking 30 steps ahead when it comes to this like sneaky thinking stuff. But, you know, if you're Desperate Man, you've got three wins in the series. You're 3-3. You've got 150 points plus the points showing up. Like, you know, you're plenty fine for this final. Do you consider the possibility of trying something just kind of off the pace? Just kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're obviously, ideally in the final, you go right to the front and never look back. But when we're going for $500,000, we know things happen. So, I don't know. Do you take an opportunity now to see how the pace wants to develop? Especially if Duncan blasts out of there, fires out. Do you just kind of slot away fourth, fifth, and just kind of see how that trip works out.
Well, that's certainly an element that's in play, because if you were a horse that didn't have the points to qualify for the big final, at least by this point, Desperate Man with three straight wins, it's safe to say that he's locked some kind of spot, if not in the final, in the consolation. And that's the thing then, is it's going to be up to Kekalee to weigh the possible risks of if he wants to push again, because he's been really firing Desperate Man each and every week. The first two wins he had were fairly easy. He didn't get super strung out, and that's why he had so much in the final quarter. But last week he came home in 28. He got a little crooked in the straightaway. That's why Kekalee had to give him a couple taps of the whip. He did correct and, you know, draw away from his competition, but it was also like, it wasn't the strongest group he was in against either. So it's to me, because I saw the fatigue and, you know, him getting pushed so hard in that first quarter, that also opens the possibility of Kekalee wanting to try a bit more of a conservative trip this time around, because you can only send a horse so many times before they might start getting tired. And especially this being a 5-week series, now is the time if they want to try a different trip based on how the pace could set up, based on the draw, based on his previous performances, where he might try to come from off the speed this time. And that could be to his disadvantage, for one, because it's Yonkers, it's a small track, it's hard to gain ground on. But then also, you know, these horses that are going to leave, they can keep going. And so Desperate Man's going to have to do a little bit of extra work that you don't usually have to do when you can just steal like a 28-29 second quarter on the lead.
Well, Kevin, as we move to race four, the second division on Monday night, this one's just a group of just kind of unlucky horses in some sense. Please let me know. It has a pair of thirds, the Rock and Roll Runa, obviously a lot of back class here, and interestingly enough, qualified last week over at the Meadowlands. I kicked in 25-4 in that qualifier. Leonidas was a favorite in the final a couple years ago. Hasn't quite found that luck here this year. Fun of the Beach, another former champion, a second and a fifth and a sixth. This is the plan. We know the kind of back class he has. He has yet to see the winner's circle in the series. Hemsworth was second to Duncan last time out. Strength from Above really hasn't gotten it going yet this series, so it's just kind of a group of unlucky ones, but somebody's got to find the winner's circle Monday night, presumably, out of this group.
Yeah, I thought I was going to get a little bit too cute picking Leonidas, so I did not. I'm going to kind of steal Mike Verbozzi's thunder. I'm going to go to Fun at the Beach. I know he liked him last week. The price was right. The trip was not. Now, I don't know if he's going to have the same trip this week. I have pretty much no opinions on how this race is just going to set up, just because this is a huge question mark. You could put a big question mark over a lot of these. I did like Hemsworth's effort in his March 25th. That was in leg two, first over at Duncan, kicked 27-4, solid second. I will be siding with Fun of the Beach. Strength from Above, I just wanted to throw in there that I know that Ray's talked about him before, but he tried to start a move in leg two, but was immediately stopped when pretty much everybody pulled in front of him. I just think you should watch out for him next week if he draws better, because, you know, some horses, it's going to be leg five, so who knows? I know they're racing for 50, but who knows how certain horses are, how much they're really going to try. So I'd watch for Strength from Above next week. I think from this outside post, really doesn't have much of a chance. I'm going to side with Fun at the Beach, though, for another potential price in race number four.
Why wait till next week for Strength from Above? This horse got no points, Kevin. You don't think, especially since you're going from Jordan to Matt to Jason to Jason? You don't think they're gonna try and go cuckoo mode from the outside post when they can build the most speed at? You don't think this horse is gonna go, Kevin?
No, I don't. I'll take a stand and say no.
Look, please let me know. Gets the inside draw, adds Lasix. He can kind of push off the wings. He's not the strongest off the gate, though, especially from that inside post. Leonidas ain't going to go. Fun at the Beach ain't going to go. This is the plan, might go. Hemsworth is questionable. So there's room for this six horse, if he wants, to go and blast. And he's going to be.
This could be a situation.
36-1. You're going to get probably a good price on a horse that's going to go woo.
This is true. This could be like a situation of with some moment somewhere where tried to blast in leg two, which also that seemed odd to me. I didn't ever really see him getting a front end spot from where he was. But regardless, this could be a situation like that where he tries to blast, and then if he sees some horses leaving inside, he could abort mission real quick.
Nah. He's got no points. There's no aborting mission when you need points. Okay.
Okay.
I feel the strength from above is a decent use inside of this. We know he's got speed. We know he has ability. We know that he got stopped two starts ago and then last out. That's not really that bad of a race. You know, they came home in 27-2 though. He went a wide trip, was chasing fast, and he's not in against the toughest group this time around. We don't know what this is the plan's gonna do. He folded and finished fifth by 13 lengths for God's sakes 2 weeks ago and had to take a week off. We don't know what he's gonna do. We don't know why. Please let me know when he was on a positive progression, decided to qualify instead of racing a leg. It's a good qualifier though. 25-4 final quarter to finish second to Admiral Hill, an Oak Grove horse. How'd he get there? But no, like this is a race that has so many question marks. And in terms of how the betting's going to go, strength from above is the most logical one to get lost in the wagering. And he hasn't shown that he's not up to the task. If anything, he's just shown that he keeps hitting brick walls. And now here's a possibility. And now you're presented the type of situation where he could be presented a brick wall again. I recognize he might be in a situation where it's a go and then pull back. But the room of possibility for him to be aggressive from this spot, to me, at whatever price he's going to be, most likely double digits, outweighs anything, you know? It's like if I put a couple bucks on him, but he's like 15 to 1, and then he takes back, I just go, huh, oh, well, whatever. But if Jason goes, well, that's going to be a fun ride. That's going to be a fun race at that point.
Yeah, you're right. But I think in the long term, that kind of investment is not worth it.
Perhaps, but we're talking about one race. It all right comes now. Down
on Monday.
One race on Monday night, April 8th, 8 p.m. Possibly it might be plus or minus a couple of minutes because traffic and other people. And you know, it's amazing that these races get off at the times they do when you think about it.
Kevin, you know, if they ran this race 10 times, some of us would win 9 of them, but not this one. This is strength from above. It's his moment.
Wait, are you actually on him, Hatter?
Well, you know, Ray, just to bother you, because it seems to bother you, I'm going to continue this line the whole show now. Will I like, please let me know off that qualifier? What about Leonidas?
Oh my God.
Will I go there? Fun at the beach. I liked him last week. Could I like him again? Could I be with Ray Catola with strength from above?
You probably do like, please let me know. Because
you'll have to tune into the show on Monday to find out that I'm going right back to Fun at the Beach again.
You gotta tune into my Monday show. Who are you, Kelly Ripa? You gotta tune into my Monday show when I talk on Mondays at the end of the week, at the start of the week.
If you were listening, I gave you your answer in there. Fun at the Beach.
Hey.
I feel like he's gonna take so much more money this time around. You're not getting 14-1. You'll be lucky if you get like 7 on him in this spot.
Well, I think that's part of it too, is seeing what the price is. And you know where you can see the price, Ray? If you tune into the show on Monday night,
Stephen Ackley
and I talk you right up to the race. You can see the progression of the odds throughout and we talk through it.
I'm going to be watching the Monday show on a Monday after everyone at work talks about the Monday. Oh.
Race 10 wraps us up for
it's a long walk then to the last division
for Monday night. Race 10. Oh, by the way, we should mention, of course, and you know, this week we don't have any of the Borgatas in them, but the pick 5 races 5 through 9, $10,000 guarantee pool as always. So that's always a great opportunity to get into. And you know, actually for me, it always kind of keeps it fun that, you know, when they're in the sequence, it's fun. Like last week, all three legs were in the pick 5. It's like, oh, okay, this is fun. But then this week's kind of fun too, because, you know, these 6-horse Borgata fields, we get these big, wide open, you know, claiming races and condition spots for the middle for that pick 5 for the big pool. And then we get to look forward early and late to these Borgata legs. So the late Borgata leg is race 10, another field of 6 here. And so we're looking at Rock and Roll Runa, who, you know, to be fair, wasn't a bad effort from post 7, taking way back last time out. It's a horse that I definitely wasn't high on coming into the series, but he's been very good through 3 legs. And the other one that's been very good is What Stanley Got, who is obviously taking the week off, but he's got himself a couple good finishes too. So definitely some horses surprising through the series. For me, Rock Maroon is one of them. I don't know. Ray, I'm sure you're going to tell us you saw this coming the whole way.
No, like you heard me last week when you posited that race as a matchup between Desperate Man and Rock and Roll Runa. I was like, but is it? And I mean, to the horse's credit, performed way better than I was expecting from that spot. I didn't imagine that this gelding would be able to get that away that far back and then find cover and then actually gain ground off of that cover to finish third. It definitely looked like it was going to be an uphill task based on where Desperate Man landed on the gate. But Rock and Roll Ruin at the very almost finished second to make it a race that was really between the two of them. And now gets back to a draw where we know he'll perform well. I'm curious how the betting is going to go in this race, because to me, just based off of how Rock and Roll Runa has raced in the series and post switch and just the overall positive progression in form, I would feel that this horse would take more money than Backstreet Shadow, despite Backstreet Shadow being the second choice on the morning. Coach's Corner is the favorite on the morning line. And that's probably just from the connections of, you know, Per Engblom, Jason Bartlett, how potent they've been at Yonkers all meet long. So this is a race where the inside four have the best chance. So the first question I would ask myself is there any way I could get Venturesome Arden or Forever Boy onto the ticket? And alas, I don't see much room for either of them to hit the ticket. Maybe Venturesome Arden more than Forever Boy. Something about the turns just has not been working in Forever Boy's favor here at Yonkers. But otherwise, this, like, the inside four, they all look like they're going to be the same price to me, just like how the morning line says. I can't separate any of them. They're all equal in terms of, like, their chance to win. The only thing I would say is, like, if Rock and Roll Runa or Hellabaloo are not the favorites, they're probably the bets inside of this race. Like, Hellabaloo put in a big effort to launch from that outside post, get the pocket, get the trip he likes, and then actually almost convert off that trip. He hadn't been able to do that in three straight starts. So maybe he's waking up. Maybe he just needed all of those miles under his belt to finally start get rolling. But again, the main question is what are the prices here? What are the odds? Is Coach's Corner really the favorite? I have no read on it, because there, again, it's just, it's tough to tell who's going to get away where. So I have to price shop at this point, and everyone's going to be the same price.
All right, Kevin, will Edison agree with Ray? Will he like the inside four?
Oh,
we'll
my
find out
God.
Monday.
Well, I would like
do
to
you
point
agree
out,
with me?
I would like to point out that Ray didn't really say anything. He just gave a long diatribe on how the inside four are very good.
Yeah, that's why.
What more is there to say about
I'll
this?
Simplify this, Kevin.
You have to make
what
an opinion.
What more is there to
you
say
to,
about
you
this?
You have to
race.
Pick a horse, make an opinion.
It is impossible. It is impossible.
It is not impossible.
Let me say what you said in about a hundredth of the time and give a lot more information. Hellabaloo wins. You're welcome.
That's not even close to what I'm saying. That is not even close to what I'm saying at all. This race can go any way.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna say Hellabaloo and then Hellabaloo goes off 6-5. Everyone goes, oh, you like that 6-5. No, because I don't think Hellabaloo is worth 6-5. But if you get him at like 3-1, 4-1, that's a different conversation. You get Backstreet Shadow 3-1, 4-1. That's a different conversation. This is a race I think you have to be adaptable because of that.
So, Ray, are you saying this is the kind of race like in the first leg where if you were watching the show on Monday night, this field of six one night, I have my top choice being the 7 horse. So that was pretty impressive. Are you saying this is that kind of race? We might even want to include the 7 horse in our tickets.
Oh, yeah, you're if you want to put Hammering Hank in for the next race.
We'll start line drive Hanover from the parking lot, even though he's not racing this week.
He could win from there, though.
I'm going to give my opinion now, and you can follow it.
I'm amazed
or not,
you have one.
But at least I'm going to give an opinion. Quick aside, though, as a gambler, I would have been really pissed if Hellabaloo won last week, because he was one that I was going to bet back, and then he had post 7, so I just didn't, and then he nearly won at a big price. But that price is gone now, so give me Backstreet Shadow. It's his third start back. He had a nightmare trip last time out. Tried to get away well, was crossed over by Hellabaloo, forced to take back, then was third over in Dull Flow, moved back to the inside. I thought he kicked home pretty well to get third. I think there's going to be a speed duel in front of him with Rock and Roll Runa, Hellabaloo. I have no idea what Coach's Corner is going to do. Is he just going to sit back with Backstreet Shadow and have to go first over again, get a nice check? That's fine. There's going to be speed in front of Backstreet Shadow. He's going to be closer up with his inside post. I am all over Backstreet Shadow in this final leg. And listen, I know that these inside four, you could play it based on the board, but for the purposes of this show and just in general, got to make an opinion and you got to be strong about it.
No, you
got to double down.
No, you don't. I'm going to go Larry David here. You do not have to make an opinion
like
that.
Yes, you do.
But here's what I want to know from you, Mr. Ploucha. I want what do you think Backstreet Shadow goes off odds wise in this race?
8-5.
You think you would swallow 8-5 on Backstreet Shadow in this race where he's against Rock and Roll Runa in his prime spot, Coach's Corner where he keeps outperforming Hellabaloo where he's on the improve.
You're gonna get like 2-1 on Rock and Roll Runa. You're gonna get like 2-1.
You wouldn't take that 2-1 over the 8-5?
It's like 60 cents.
This math is not mathing because I want 6-5 on Hellabaloo, like Ray said. So we can't all have these short prices. Somebody's gonna have to take one. For
yeah,
the team
somebody's gonna be like 6-1 because they're not all gonna be 2-1.
No, they very well can, because you don't. The 5 and the 6 are not gonna take any money.
Yeah, I'm aware.
They're going to be like 40-50 to 1.
So yeah, you're
leaves,
right.
That leaves 80-90 points for the inside four.
You were talking about Covered Bridge last time out, and then he ended like against Desperate Man and Line Drive Hanover, and then he was like 9-1. So somebody's not going to be 2-1. Somebody's going to be 5 or 6-1.
Yeah, and you're telling me if Hellabaloo was 6-1, you would be too sour about, oh, but he was 16-1 last week. Like, oh, I'm not going to buy into the S&P 500 because it just hit its all-time high. I'm too good for that.
I'd throw him into the Exacta, man.
But he's still a good price to win. Do you not understand what I'm saying here?
I understand what you're saying.
This is why an opinion doesn't matter. And this is something that I have to say.
I guess you're right then. What's the point of making an opinion?
Because here's the thing, Kevin. Here's the thing to remember. And I show it with my Oak Grove stuff. Do you want to know what my most profitable pick is at Oak Grove on my sheet? It's not my top pick. My top picks are never, it's my second, it's my third. You have to be willing to reshape your opinion based off what's being presented to you. And if you're being presented back, if Backstreet Shadow goes off 6-5 somehow, are you still on board with him? Or are you going, no, I'm not going to take that price?
I would be very unlikely to take that price.
There you go. So then if that's the case and you see 6-5, but then you see, wow, Rock and Roll Runa is 7-2. You're taking Rock and Roll Runa, aren't you, at 7-2?
Probably.
That's the point.
But
that's,
he would still be my top. The Backstreet Shadow would still be my top pick, and I would still get credit for picking him on top. So if he wins the race,
I forgot. This is a gambling game. Of course, it's all on credit. No one needs actual cash to show for anything.
Well, if you pick Hellabaloo at 6-1 and he doesn't win, then you don't get anything.
Yeah,
then it doesn't matter.
It's the principle of of trying to pick your spots and to pick the most optimal spots you can. You're in the long term. If you just go, well, Backstreet Shadow 6-5. I want him at 8-5. I gotta play Backstreet Shadow. You're gonna lose the same amount, but your expected return is decreased because you're doing that on 6-5s versus 6-1s. Like this is Abacus 101, buddy.
All right, we thank Ray Catolo for his great thoughts on gambling for us for this show as we're starting to run out of time here. Things I want to mention at the end here, you know, actually Ray kind of mentioned this. This is a commercial and a Ray comment rebuttal, addition. But yeah, you know, that is a difficulty, to be fair, when you're handicapping days out in advance. You know, there is a benefit to me being able to sit on a show Monday night and be able to talk about the race right up to the gate and say, oh, hey, this horse is 2-1 right now. That's way too short. I want. Oh, wait, that horse is 7-1. I thought it was going to be like 3-1. Let's take the 7-1. We can't do that on the show, obviously, and other things can't either, including the Empire Report that the SOA puts out every night for the racing at Yonkers, and obviously a great detailed analysis of the horses. So, you know, that's a good handicapping resource. This show's a good handicapping resource, but you have to look at both of them through that lens of knowing that you're not going to know what those handicappers are saying the post-time odds are. So that's where you got to use some of your own abilities, and you can get your free program at empirecitycasino.com, so the free program can help you make some of your own judgments, hopefully, on these races and help you make a more profitable better. But as we wrap up here, Ray, I'm sure we'll discuss this more on next week's show when you and I are back around, so we won't get too deep into it right now, but really, Line Drive Hanover, Desperate Man, let's be real, they're kind of the two that everybody's looking at. You know, there's other options. I'm sure we'll discuss other horses, but specifically with those two.
Yeah.
How do you look at those horses this week, Ray, with Desperate Man Racing and Line Drive Hanover taking the week off? Do you like one of those strategies more than the other when they both presumably have enough points at this point that they're pretty safe for the final?
For me, like, in how I would incorporate that into my handicapping, a lot of that would just come down to when the final is in front of me and you see what posts everyone has and you're getting an idea of how the race can unfold, because then you start bringing into the question of like, well, Line Drive Hanover, he had this week off. So you start to weigh, is that something that would help refresh the horse and have them up to a stiffer task if, you know, they have an outside draw, and that would mean they would have to go like maybe a tougher trip potentially, versus, you know, if Desperate Man races all 5 weeks and in this week and the next week he starts showing signs of fatigue, then going into the final, you would have you would potentially have more confidence in being able to build an opinion against Desperate Man, who would be taking however much money he would be if he wins, you know, all five legs of the series. So it's an element that's more useful come the final when you have everything laid in front of you. And the other piece to that is it comes down to, you know, each horse. There are some horses that they love to race and they get better if they're consistently racing versus going from week to week to week, or from like a week here and then 2 weeks off, a week here, 3 weeks off. A lot of that's just up to the discretion of the trainer and, you know, as gamblers and stuff, us trusting that the trainer is making the best call for the horse. And, you know, that's something that there's no number to capture that. That a lot of that is just based off of what you observe of, you know, that trainer's track record, of that specific horse's track record. And it's one of the many other pieces that makes this game at times difficult, because it is so independent and we're mostly relying on just like general ideas that consistently occur in certain situations, which I think is just science. You would understand that, Mr. NASA man.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. That's pretty much spot on. I mean, I forget who it was we were interviewing earlier on one of the Mondays on the shows, but it was a trainer who essentially said that their horse does better just, you know, week after week and just loves that racing, whatever, you know. So fair enough then. Okay, then that horse is probably going to race all five legs and I'm not going to be worried about it. Alternatively, if they take a week off, I assume that, you know, whatever the trainer is doing is probably the best interest of the horse. But I do agree that I think there's an element that still comes into the final that if that horse raced all 5 weeks, let's say it is Desperate Man and wins all, you know, five of the legs, and then draws post eight in the final versus Line Drive Hanover, you know, drawing way inside, like, man, Line Drive Hanover not only has a post position advantage, but also got at least that little week of a break, you know, Desperate Man just keep rolling along here. So I think it subtly comes into the handicapping, but, you know, things we'll discuss when the final comes around, when next week's legs come around, but that'll just about wrap up the time we have for this week's show. So I thank Ray Cotolo and Kevin Plaucher for joining as always. Thank Mike Brozzi for his segments, along with our other special guest there, helped handicap with him earlier today for Frazier. And we thank you for tuning into the show as always. We hope you join us back here next week on the Harness Players Podcast.
Are you not going to ask what Kevin thinks?